friends, welcome back to another edition of the Amber May Show. I am so glad you are here. Joining me today is Rebecca Fredericks. She's a longtime veteran teacher. She's been a teacher for under 30 years, or has been a teacher for over 40 years. And today she is exposing the teachers' union. So I think we're going to learn some stuff that we may not know about the teachers' union. So make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Please do so. And hey, if you believe in what I'm doing, please go to theamermayshow.com. Click donate button and donate whatever you think you could donate to help support the program, or go into theamermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber there as well. I always add more content, so join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. You can find me at True Social Amber May or Frank Social Amber May, and you can also find me on Cloud Hub. So join me there. Please like, check out the description below and check out all of our sponsors. They're on the description below, or they're on the website at theambermayshow.com. So coming up next is Rebecca Fredericks, and she is going to talk about the teachers union right now. A wonderful lady joining me today. Her name is Rebecca Fredericks, and she's been a school teacher, like I told you earlier in the intro, for many, many years. And she has some bombshell information she's going to share with us about the unions the teachers are involved in. Well, so welcome, Rebecca, to the program. I am so glad to have you today.
Well, it's really nice to be here today, Amber May. Thanks for having me.
Senator Schaefer said from Georgia, as she said,
while you're thinking of it, was she the one that died in that horrible car accident?
I don't know how she died, but they murdered her because she was telling people how they were trying to traffic your kids through CPS.
Right. Said, oh, they're totally doing that. And by the way,
social workers are the glue that keeps the whole thing going, especially in the court system. And what they're going to do is they're having more social workers involved in the community schools. Oh, what she said is that the poor people are the most targeted for trafficking your kid because you can't afford attorneys. Yes. And so they're also going to be mostly targeted at the community schools because they're going to offer everything, a doctor, this, that, the everything that you would possibly need in life, they're going to offer through the school system, even though you can get it outside the school system. But it's really, really going to target the poor because they're going to be like, well, I can't afford, I don't have insurance, or I don't have great insurance, or I can't afford the copay. Don't worry, just sign this little form. It's okay. And we'll give it to you for free to this government because they think the children belong to them. They don't believe your children belong to you.
That's right. You know, we created created a movie this last year. Yeah. It's called Whose Children Are They? And that's why we call it that.
I'm going to play the trailer. I'm going to play the trailer because I think it's really important that we see this.
Public education has gone off the rails.
Once you get into this idea that it's really the government's job to educate children, you end up in a very, very dangerous place, and I don't see anything good coming out of that.
When we look at this radical agenda, the way our children are being exploited and the way parents are getting shut out, it comes down to one fundamental question. Whose children are they?
Whose children are they?
Whose children are they?
¿De quién son esos niños?
Whose children are they?
Where did this idea come from that we're even asking whose children are they?
It's where all the money is. It's why the union is there. It's why it's so corrupt.
Now it's about power and money and politics, and somehow the kids are getting lost in all of that.
Our teachers are bullied. Parents are shut out. America as we know it is being reimagined in a very dangerous way.
That just lights a fire into my butt, and that's why I want to put a stop to critical race theory so that a lot of friendships can be saved and that we can just all get along.
You know, I hesitate to say that there was a silver lining to COVID, but parents suddenly had this window into what their children were learning day in and day out.
Critical race theory is dividing our children in ways that are unacceptable.
It pits one race against another.
You cannot use racism to eradicate racism.
Less than one third of America's school children are proficient in anything.
They're teaching these kids X-rated sex acts.
I don't want my daughter exposed to that.
The school system wants to indoctrinate us teachers first before we indoctrinate your kids.
Certain ways of thinking are approved and certain ways of thinking are not.
They sentenced me to jail because I wanted a better education for my daughters.
I'm not interested in tolerance.
Their whole goal is to intimidate, to silence the opposition.
There's so much damage done by the lockdown on the students.
Days turned into weeks and then months.
It doesn't actually surprise me that there's been more suicides. I know I've had those thoughts.
They told me, if you want to teach, you'll sign.
We want to make sure that teachers know that you do have another option.
Right now in schools, it is not safe to be a teacher.
This was the most preventable mass murder in American history.
Less than 30 seconds, it was done.
And my daughter was murdered at the school.
It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you're a mom and a dad first.
And if we lose this battle on the educational front, then we lose not only our country, but we lose our kids. And we lose the ability to bring our children up the way that we want.
They are assaulting parental rights. They are not respecting our cultures, our values. They're not respecting our voice.
The reality is we're not dissenters, we're the parents.
So the question has to be asked.
Wow, that is a powerful video that you created. Wow.
Well,
thanks for
you.
Showing that. That's incredible. See, we talked about safety. It was even a male teacher, and that hits in your movie. We talked about parents losing rights over your kid just briefly. I mean, just briefly, that's in your movie. Sexualization of kids, that's in your movie. How do people find your movie?
Well, they can either come to our website for kidsincountry.org and click on it there, or they can go directly to the movie website, which is whosechildrenarethey.com. And the movie's been out for about a year now, so it's now on DVD. If they click on, you know, something like buy it here or something like that, and they scroll down, they can either buy DVDs or keep scrolling. They can. There's three different ways they can stream it. I think through Vision Video, Salem Now, and I forget the other one. But so there's many, many ways where they can get it. If they want to show it in a community center or a church or something like that, then they need to get a site license. It's very inexpensive, like $100 for up to 200 people. And so then they could reach out to us via the website, either for kidsincountry.org or whosechildrenarethey.com.
See, here's the thing. We need to talk about the indoctrination because that I'm assuming it's a teacher said they indoctrinate us first. Let's go into that for a minute.
Yeah, well, there's a ton of indoctrination. Well, first of all, some of it is deceptive and some of it's outright obvious. So we were talking about community schools earlier. How do they manipulate teachers into buying into community schools? Well, teachers are empathetic people and they love children. So they'll go to the teachers and say, oh, we're making these community schools because Johnny doesn't have glasses and Sarah, you know, needs a doctor and blah, 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 blah. And they play into the empathy of these teachers, and the teachers aren't thinking, well, these are evil people who are trying to undermine families and turn us into a communist country. they're just thinking, oh, all these little kids need something, so I want them to go to a community school. So a lot of teachers are manipulated. I've met the sweetest teachers who are good people who think community schools are a good thing, and they're mad at me for being against them. So it's because they're unaware that there's a communist agenda going on, and that really the reason for these community schools is to snatch kids from their parents, is to manipulate them, to brainwash them, to, you know, to have control of their medical so they can give them experimental shots and abortions without asking their parents, and all this evil, wicked agenda. So that's one thing. Teachers are manipulated. The other thing is teachers are bullied. They are in, you know, surviving in what I call a culture of fear. I wrote a book about this. It's called Standing Up to Goliath. And in the book, I have dozens and dozens of testimonies, of personal testimonies of teachers who have been just, you know, screamed at constantly, spit upon, lied to, you know, fired because they won't go along with this crazy agenda. You know, I have three chapters on the sex ed and how it's the unions that wrote and created all this sex ed with the Planned Parenthood and others, and how teachers are then bullied into teaching it. How do they do that? So what the unions do is when they write a law, like here in California, they wrote the California Healthy Youth Act. There's nothing healthy about it. It's all about promoting radical sexual agenda, including, you know, anal sex and pedophilia and all this other evil stuff. Well, what do? They wrote into the law that if a teacher is not qualified to teach this, then the experts will be brought in. What does that mean in Orwellian speak? What does that mean? Well, it means that teachers like me would never teach it because it's child abuse. So when it all of a sudden came into the schools, there were all these teachers going, I can't teach this. There's no way I can teach this. And they're being told they have to. So the teacher's like, I'm going to take a week off of work, or I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to teach this. So then the district just says, oh, no problem. You're not qualified. Then we'll bring in the experts. Who are the experts? Planned Parenthood and other perverts like them. Planned Parenthood has contracts with districts all over this country. And they're coming into your school and they're sexualizing your kid and they're bullying the teachers who refuse to teach. I have known so many teachers who've left the public schools over this, or they're just bullied and sitting in the background. They're not allowed to tell the parents that their kids are being abused by Planned Parenthood because that teacher won't teach it. So they're kicked out of the classroom for that 2 weeks or whatever while Planned Parenthood comes in and abuses the kids. What I would say to teachers out there is, do not lie to parents. If you have a district telling you to lie to parents, telling you Planned Parenthood's coming in, tell the parents. Tell them. If you get fired, oh well, let's have some faith that God and others are going to help you to find a better job, or you can start a co-op in your community and help more people escape these wicked schools. So a big part of the problem
parents are going to stand beside her, yes, beside them. I mean, I think some good will come from that, because like your movie said, the best thing that ever happened to families was COVID, and they got a sneak peek in what's going on in their education system because they didn't know before.
Exactly. But you'd be shocked.
They look at the school boards. How many times now in the last 2.5 years that parents showed up to school boards? How much did they used to come to school?
None.
Not as much.
None.
Now there'd it's be like one all the time.
Exactly. There'd be one parent and everybody else was too afraid. The big thing I want your audience to understand is these unions control with fear. They use fear to terrorize everyone. Teachers have been terrorized for decades. Now they use fear to terrorize parents. Oh, you're a domestic terrorist or whatever. Stop being afraid. We have to stop being afraid, or they'll take us over completely and then we'll have no freedoms. And you'd be surprised, Amber, how many parents don't stand with teachers because they're scared too. And one of the big things we do at our organization for Kids in Country is we help communities learn how to stand together. It's really important. Parents and pastors and other community leaders must stand together with teachers. Teachers can't fight off this mafia by themselves. They get fired, falsely accused. I have teacher friends with perfect records who were suddenly accused of abusing kids. I mean, it's unreal. So we have to stand together. We way outnumber them. They are such a small fraction of society, and they're evil people. And we way outnumber them. We have the majoritarian values. So we have to stop being afraid of them and stand up.
My fear is, especially with the community schools that are coming up, there's going to be more social workers There's people who fundamentally believe if you don't affirm your kid's gender, you are abusing them. It doesn't matter at home if you love them, you hug them, you kiss them, you provide food for them, a shelter, you're a good parent, but you just don't think your son who's is a girl because you know he's a boy, or you know your daughter's a girl when she thinks she's a boy.
Right.
And there are people that fundamentally believe you are abusing your kid. Those people will call CPS on you.
Yeah.
And they will easily take your kid away.
Well, that's
this
right.
And it's where this is going.
Well, and it's important for people to know CPS is unionized. It's the same evil government union agenda that's running CPS. That's why they're doing this. And it's the government unions, the education mafia, that is educating people to believe that you can be all these genders. So no matter where we go, it's always the union that's causing all these problems. They're also the ones that are making sure people get fired if they don't do the agenda. So it's time people wake up that these unions are evil. Stop funding them. And people might not realize for decades they were forced to fund them, but myself and 9 other California teachers, we sued them. And we took our case to the Supreme Court, and there's been some other cases as well. And nobody has to pay government unions anymore. You're free. You don't have to pay them. You used to have to pay them as a condition of employment. Please stop paying them.
Yeah, tell us about that story, because you felt forced into it when you didn't want to. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we were 100% forced. It was a condition of employment. If you wanted to teach, or you wanted to be a nurse in a government agency, or you wanted to be a social worker, you're forced to pay the unions. And these unions are communists. They are behind this wicked agenda. They are the ones behind the whole LGBTQ agenda. You talked earlier about chaos. They have to destroy our identities. They have to make us all demoralized and devastated. They have to lie to our children and punish us for telling our children the truth. That's how they take over. So people have been freed since 2018, and they don't have to pay unions anymore. But the majority of them have no idea. They think they still have to pay these unions as a condition of employment. They have to give them nothing. And the unions still have to represent them. Not that we want their wicked representation, but people think, oh, I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my contract. No, you're not. You don't have to pay them anymore. So if more people would, we have a program at forkidsandcountry.org that we call Adopt a Teacher. It takes 3 minutes to learn how to do it. If people would just go on our website, click Adopt a Teacher, you'll learn how to put your arm around a teacher and how to educate that teacher. 85% of teachers are still funding these demonic unions. If you please help us educate them to what their unions are really up to, that the reason their whole profession is falling apart, the reason the kids are damaged, the whole agenda is the unions, then they could stop paying the unions. And if we could get more people to do that in all government agencies, once you learn how to adopt a teacher, you can do the same thing with a social worker or anyone who's a government employee, because most social workers are good people. They're being used as pawns.
Yes, they are.
And our universities are now run by these unions and all their evil agenda, their communist agenda. So they go to school and they get manipulated. I have so many people who are school counselors who come to me and say, they're telling me I have to affirm this stuff. They're telling me I have to lie to the parents. I won't do that. So you have all these people caught in the middle. If we'd stop funding the unions, this would stop. So if people could just help us to get that.
What do they promise the teachers? If you join the union, what is their promise to the teachers that make them enticed to fund the unions?
Yeah, the number one enticement is people are getting sued all the time. And so the unions say, you need us so you won't get sued because we have liability insurance. The number one reason teachers stay in the union is for that liability insurance. Well, I'd like to share some really good news with teachers and others. Did you know that the union insurance is lousy? It only covers you if you get sued. So if you molest a child and get sued, the union will defend you. But if you're falsely accused, or your administrator harasses you, or you're put on unpaid leave, or all this leave they keep putting anybody on, the unions won't defend you at all. Not at all. But there are independent organizations. One's called Christian Educators, one's called Association of American Educators, and then there's one specifically for teachers in Texas, Independent Teachers of Texas. They're all on our website, forkidsandcountry.org. You click on Union Exit, and you'll find these resources. And for a fraction of the price, around $200 a year, you can get liability insurance from these people. And they will defend you if you're sued, or if you're falsely accused, or there's a job action against you. Also, the unions only cover you $1 million per incident. These organizations cover you $2 million per incident. So it's better coverage. It's a fraction of the cost and it's more coverage. So it's a no-brainer. And the other thing, when people go to forkidsandcountry.org and click on Union Exit, our top, it's a three-step process. Step one is a teacher toolkit. Teachers, you've been lied to. You've been deceived. You have questions that are too hard for most people to answer. Our toolkit answers the question. All the lies these unions have told you, we answer it. So you're not scared anymore. Step two, we literally walk you through the opt-out process. No matter where you live, no matter what union you're in, you'll find it on the map. Step three is the liability insurance. So you can be out of the unions, you can be covered, and you can know the truth and not have to believe their lies anymore. The truth will set you free.
And so is not fearing, because God always said, don't fear, don't fear, don't fear in the Bible. And because that is the number one emotion that gets people to make poor decisions, because they're wrapped up in so much fear, and it doesn't allow them to critically think. And that's the problem. They don't want us to critically think.
Right.
They want us to be in this fight or flight mode all the time, to where we don't really think about what is really going on behind the scenes. Now, we just touched on it. I need to go back to it because I don't feel like I fully got the greatest answer yet. How are they indoctrinating the teachers? Okay, so we talked about they get to their empathetic side of them. Johnny really needs classes. We need this community school. Yeah. But I'm sure there's other things they're doing too, right?
Oh, 100%. So in 1933, the unions and their allies started the Frankfurt School. They started it at Columbia University in New York. What was their goal? Their goal was to eventually take over every teacher college or influence every teacher's college in the United States. They have reached that goal. The only teacher's colleges they're not running are things like Hillsdale College, where they're independent. But if it's a government-funded school, these schools are literally teaching the communist agenda to these teachers. So teachers are indoctrinated in every way when they go into their teacher colleges. So you might, you might be totally innocent and just want to be a good teacher. And you go into these teacher colleges and you're taught this whole agenda, you know, that there's all these genders, you know, that you should lie to parents. Oh, that everybody needs all these shots. Whatever is involved in the agenda, that community schools are good. That teachers know all, that we're the experts and, you know, we know more than parents. That is such a disgusting thing that I hear teachers, not real honest teachers, but these indoctrinated teachers, I know more than the parents. No, you don't. And that's all coming through these teacher colleges where they're being 100% fully indoctrinated. A lot of them, I hate to say it, but they're being trained to really be like Nazis. I mean, they're teaching the children to be brown shirts. They're going out and teaching kids how to be social justice warriors, how to picket against President Trump, how to picket against so many good things. Schooling is for learning how to read and write and accurate science and astronomy and, you know, accurate history. But instead, our schools have become these, truly pushing a social justice agenda, a communist agenda. How did that happen? Through the teachers' colleges. So they've been indoctrinated in every way. And just a quick story, I have a wonderful teacher friend who was a scientist in the private sector, and she decided she wanted to become a teacher. And she went to USC. She told me that she was the only teacher in her program that wasn't part of the LGBTQ agenda. She told me that every single other person in the program was on some kind of government funding for their education. She was the only one who wasn't LGBTQ or pushing it, and the only one funding her own education. And as she was in there, she was so frustrated with the whole agenda they were trying to push down her throat. So this is what they do. They indoctrinate them in the colleges. And then once they get on the school campus, the districts are so corrupt and so just controlled by this communist agenda that good teachers who speak out about what's right or who do what's right, they get squashed. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse each year. And I hate to say it, but a lot of our school board, even the good school board members and the good superintendents out there and good administrators, a lot of them are manipulated because they want more and more and more money. And so they buy into Common Core and other. Common Core is totally indoctrinating teachers and children to hate our American founders. Oh my gosh, it's horrible. So what happened was we had No Child Left Behind, which wasn't good. But what happened was all the school districts couldn't reach the there were ridiculous goals, like even special needs kids were supposed to reach these goals that were impossible for them to reach. So the schools were going to lose their funding. So what happened? The teachers, the education mafia, along with Obama, come up with this whole Common Core thing. And teachers, yes, the union is behind Common Core, and they fight for Common Core. So they come into the schools and they say, look, if you want to keep getting money and you want to get a whole bunch of money and you don't want to lose your funding, just take on Common Core. Here's the carrot. Here's all these billions in federal funding. So districts all over the nation took Common Core. I was teaching at the time. I want to tell you how this went down. This was worse than Obamacare. I'm teaching. We come back after the summer. I'm getting my classroom ready. And we have 3 days of training before school starts. So I'm doing the training. And our superintendent comes in, stresses us all out. She says, oh, you know, I hate to tell you, but we have to teach a brand new program called Common Core. Okay, school's starting in 3 days. And we're told, I mean, I've been planning all summer, planning my lessons. And now we're told we have to teach something totally different in 3 days. So the teachers freak out. Most teachers just want to do a good job. They're like, what's Common Core? And they said, well, we don't know. It hasn't been written yet. So I'm the troublemaker. I raise my hand. How are we supposed to teach something that hasn't been written yet? Okay. Most teachers are just, they get really stressed out. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm thinking I'm going to teach what I'm already going to teach because this is ridiculous. But most teachers are, oh, I have to do what's right. I have to do what the superintendent says. So the next day we come back, this is how they manipulate teachers. We come back and they say, oh, teachers, you don't have to be stressed out. We found these three wonderful websites that are already ready to go. They have scripted lessons for all the Common Core. All you have to do, we're going to give you the next 2 days to pore over these websites and find lessons you can teach your students. Oh, you're saved. All you have to do is use these lessons. I raise my hand. Wait a minute. I thought Common Core hadn't been written yet. How could we have websites full of written scripted lessons? By the way, scripted lessons is bad teaching. If anyone's told you scripted lessons is a good way to teach, they're wrong. That's not the way you teach, reading a script. It's ridiculous. That's how you indoctrinate. You get everybody reading the same script, right? So I did not teach.
Are you familiar with the backgrounds of Common Core and the publishers behind Common Core? I was told that it goes back to a Lucifer publishing company.
You know,
and then they changed their name.
I have heard that too. And I have never
come from.
Yeah, I've heard that too, but I've never done the deep dive to figure it out for myself. But all I needed to know was that the education mafia was behind it and supported it. And I knew it was bad. The other thing is my personal experience. So I refused to teach those lessons, but our district forced it. They brought in a special person who would train every teacher and force you to teach these lessons, right? And here's what I witnessed with my own eyes. This woman, nice lady, totally manipulated, believing that the experts know best, comes in and teaches this lesson to my class that's all about wind turbines. And then it starts cutting down fossil fuels. And I'm like, whoa, wait, stop. I mean, I wouldn't finish the lesson. And because she left and I wouldn't finish it. And I told my kids, this is indoctrination. We're not going to learn like this. But some of my teacher friends, one of them in particular, she got so stressed that she didn't pre-read a lesson because, you know, they gave her 2 days. And so she teaches this lesson to her third graders. And the whole lesson was about how evil our founding fathers were, because all they were a bunch of slave owners. And she goes, Rebecca, I feel terrible. All my students hate the founding fathers now. That's how they do it.
I learned that too. I learned that when I was going to elementary school. Not all the teachers did it, but some did. So they made me feel like we were we're an imperialistic country, and we're so evil, and we're in all these countries being imperialist. And I remember them trying to make me feel bad about loving my country. I never wavered on loving my country. I don't know, honestly, I can't pinpoint one thing about my upbringing that made me really love my country the way I did, or realize that some of this stuff wasn't right. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit. I don't know. All I know is I was picking up on stuff like this as a young kid, but not every child's going to pick up on it. I just happened to be one of those kids that I knew something was off. I did not like the fact that they were bashing my country to make me feel like I live in this horrible country in the other class that I hated in junior high. I hated it. It was Tapestry of Culture. And they made me feel so bad about me being a white person, that I'm automatically racist. And they wanted me to not like the color of my skin because all white people are racist. And look what they did to as slave owners. They beat them and we had to watch the movie Roots. Now, the movie Roots was good. I get it. You know, there is some education to be, you know, involved in that. Some slave owners did beat their slaves. But I also know slaves were not cheap either. And if they wanted to farm, they needed labor. And so I also have to believe that there was a lot of good slave owners that treated their people very well because, A, they cost a lot of money. Anytime I'm going to shell out a lot of money for anything, I'm going to make sure that is, like, taken care of, whatever it is. I'm going to take care of whatever it is that I just spent a lot of money on. Mm-hmm. So I hated that class. And I knew, but not every teacher at that point was like that. But there was some, and it started, I started picking up on that as a child. So I have to believe there's kids that are being taught that are probably, have to be questioning. At least I hope so. At least I hope they are.
Well, you know what, if they have good parents who are teaching them the truth, I mean, truly parents, if you're putting your kids in public schools, I tell people you're playing Russian roulette. Because like Amber's sharing, you're going to get a bad teacher eventually. You know, there's some great teachers and you might feel really good about a great teacher, but it's a corrupt system. Eventually your child's going to be impacted. But the most important thing is, what are you teaching them at home? You know, if they're spending 7 hours a day at school being indoctrinated, what are you teaching them at home? And I think, Amber, you probably just had some really good instruction somewhere at home, because I also loved my country very much and was not taught to love my country in my public schools. In fact, just the opposite. And as a teacher, I started every single day in the classroom after we did roll. We did the flag salute, we did the national anthem, and then I would teach them a new patriotic song every month. That was their favorite part of the day. The kids wanted to do that all day long. They're naturally patriotic. They know we have a great country. Why are people pouring into our borders if we're not a great country? So, you know, these lies are.
My father's an immigrant. My brother-in-law's an immigrant. So my dad's first generation American. Well, he's in heaven now, but I mean, why would he come to our country if it wasn't so great? It's right. The best country on the planet. I have family members wanting to flee their country now to come to the United States. But there's people in our country that make us believe, or try to make us believe, that we are this horrible racist country. And they want to remove all of our history. And I just, I'm brokenhearted about it. We have government officials sold out to China. They don't care about America. They sold us out and they are treasonous. They don't love our country. There's some people here that have wealth and they have power and they have sold our country out, and they're using the school system to do that. And it's disgusting.
It is disgusting. And I agree with you. They're treasonous. And what's the punishment for treason? Isn't that hanging? I mean, we need to have some justice here. At least put these people in jail for undermining the greatest country and our freedoms and harming our children and everything else. But I would just like to point out again, it's the government unions that are the ones that, I mean, these people have a lot of money and they're funding, you know, like George Soros and this sort of thing. They're funding all kinds of evil. But who got their tentacles into our agencies and our institutions, our libraries, our schools? The unions, the government unions. So we have to out them for who they really are. You know, that they're in bed with these other treasonous traitors who are undermining the greatest country that's ever been. And, you know, Lord help us to have the courage.
So what happened? I'm sorry I interrupted you with your teacher, because it hit a nerve with me, because I just remember that in elementary school and junior high. And even in high school, for that matter, it just got worse. but what happened to your teacher that freaked out about indoctrinating her kids to hate the founding fathers? Like, what happened with that?
Oh, she's still teaching. She's still in the classroom. She stopped teaching that kind of lesson. She was devastated over it. She learned a really hard lesson that she damaged those children because she believed the experts and because she taught a lesson without pre-reading it, without, you know, understanding it ahead of time. The thing I can say is, she has her child in a private school. I can tell you that, because she doesn't want him indoctrinated by some other teacher who teaches that stuff. And, you know, she's really trapped in a corrupt system. She does some good things. She doesn't pay the unions, which is, you know, she's brave to do that. And she's educated some others, but she's still in the classroom. And thank God, not teaching those kind of lessons anymore.
And what is a teacher to do? How are we to help our teachers out? What if there's a teacher listening right now that is like, oh my gosh, you're so right. What are we to do? How can we help that teacher? Like, what's the next step for that teacher?
Yeah, we have to stand with teachers. They can't do it alone. They're terrified. I mean, we've all been canceled lately. Teachers have been canceled since the 1960s on the job. Okay, if you dare to speak out on the job against the union agenda, you're canceled. I've been treated like dirt by union leaders over my whole career because I dared to speak out against their agenda. So these teachers are scared. So the first thing I would say to teachers is something Amber said earlier, God's not the author of fear. Fear's coming right from the devil. So if fear is controlling you, that's not God. So find your courage in your faith, if you have faith, or in truth. That's the first thing I'd say. Second thing is all of us need to adopt teachers. I don't know the teachers out there. I can't put my arm around them. They don't live in my community. You need to find the teachers around you and get your arms around them. If you're a teacher, find a good, patriotic, kind, loving person and ask them to put their arms around you. You just go to forkidsandcountry.org and click on adopt a teacher, and then you show them, this is what I need you to do, adopt me with this. Or those of you out there who need to adopt teachers, use our flyer to learn how to get your arm around them and support them. We have to stand together. Teachers can't fight this alone. Then the next thing is, teachers, I know it's hard. I know you're going to be bullied. I know you're going to be called a free rider. I know you're going to be isolated, but you must stop funding these unions. They are wicked. And as soon as you take the step to do it and then start educating others, it will grow. I want to tell you something that might encourage you. LA Unified School District it's the second largest district in the nation. It's very corrupt. The union's brutal, brutal to their teachers. Do you know that about 300 teachers crossed the picket line a couple weeks ago when they were striking? It didn't make the news, but those teachers did it. I know because I work with them personally. And when I trained them and taught them the truth about the unions, they woke up because the union wouldn't defend them from the experimental shots. And they didn't want them based on religious liberties and medical freedom. And they, the union wouldn't defend them because the unions are behind those shots. So that's how they woke up originally. Then they met me and I started training them that their unions are communists. Now that they know who they are, they're standing together and they're saying, whatever you say, union, we're doing the opposite. And they're standing together and they're getting other teachers to lead the unions. That's what we need. We just start with a little brush fire of people like that, and it'll grow and grow and grow into a big inferno. That's what we need. We have to grow our numbers. And there's teachers all around this country who reject the unions, who stand with us. If you're a teacher and you're feeling alone, come to us at forkidsandcountry.org. Scroll to the bottom of any page. Send us an email. There's an email address. Contact us down there. We'll hook you up with a teacher who will talk to you and comfort you. But you need to find people in your own community who can literally stand boots on the ground with you and protect you.
Oh, I love that. Oh, man, Rebecca, it's been so wonderful having you on the show. I mean, we've all learned so much from you. You've been a school teacher for just under 30 years. Your husband was a school teacher for over 40 years. So it's not like you're coming out and just saying stuff that you haven't lived, walked, and seen yourself. You totally know what it's like to be a teacher. You've seen what's going on. God bless you for your help and your love to help other teachers get to the place where you're at right now, because we can take back our education system by parents and teachers coming together to take back the education system. There's more of us than there are of them. And one thing I do want to mention, I'm glad that, your Supreme Court case caused, allowed teachers not to have to be forced to sign that contract. But if you really, really, really think about it, the teachers had all the power, because if they didn't sign that contract, then they couldn't teach. And then if they couldn't teach, the schools wouldn't be able to have students because there would have been no educators for them. So had more teachers come together, they would have been desperate to have the teachers come without signing that document. So the teachers really have more power than they think they do, because without the teachers, the whole system collapses. You have to have teachers for a school system to function. And if you don't, then it doesn't work. So all the power truly, truly, truly lies with the teacher. And when the teachers understand that, then they can take back the authority and the power away from those who want to take it away from them or manipulate them.
That is so well said. Exactly. And the parents too, all the power, you know, if the kids aren't there, there's nobody to teach. So the parents can pull their kids out and, you know, try to break this feeling that you know, I know you're paying a lot of taxes. I live in California. I get it. I pay a lot of taxes to our schools, unfortunately, but I don't have to use them. And if teachers and parents would stand together and start little, you know, co-ops and networks, homeschool networks. We help with that too, by the way, for kidsandcountry.org. Click on school options. We can help you learn how to start those kinds of things. So you're right. We have all the power. We just have to exercise it.
Mm-hmm. They get us indoctrinated to think we don't have the power, and that's their trick. And then we believe it and it's not true. So I hope this is an empowering episode today. That's the point. It's not to bash any teacher because we don't believe in that. However, the system that they're in is a terrible system. And that is what we got to fix, because there's so many good-hearted people out there that just love kids and just want to do this for the rest of their life, is teach little ones. And it's a beautiful thing. I loved my teachers growing up. I have some favorites of mine, even some male teachers that were some favorites of mine. And being a teacher is a very special, special job. There's nothing like it under the sun. It's an amazing job. So we just got to take it back so people like you and others can go and do what they love doing. So Rebecca, you're welcome to come on anytime. You have any updates for us? We would love to know what your updates are. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Great. Thank you, Amber.
Thank you for watching Jay Slay Made in the USA. I'm your host, Jeremy Sladen. This is episode 2 of the Hidden in Plain Sight series, where I chronicle the shocking truths behind the layers of propaganda, fact checks, and false narratives, which have been hiding the truth in plain sight all along. In episode 1, I related some facts about Bill Gates and his family's long-held ties to eugenics, Planned Parenthood, and population control. But today's topic is far more complex. Would you believe that there is a spiritual and financial connection between the occult, I mean the real occult, the United Nations, Common Core Education, and Bill Gates? I'm telling you that there is so much connectivity and jaw-dropping information that my greatest obstacle in developing this episode was just knowing where to begin. So my goal here is to highlight some key points from a 10,000-foot level of verifiable connections between the Luciferian globalists, which I define as those who are pushing for a one-world government, religion, and ruler with direct ties to the occult. Connecting that with the modern-day education of our children. Yes, yours and mine. My greatest request is that you don't take my word for any of this. All of the information I provide can be found easily on the websites of the very organizations and people from which I'm speaking about. I've provided several links in the description to help you get started. So do your own research, and then I welcome your feedback, criticisms, or corrections. But please remember, this is not an exhaustive look at all the information. It is merely a snapshot of the high points. So let's begin. Our journey begins with two women, Madame Blavatsky and Alice Bailey. In the late 1800s, Blavatsky was a Russian immigrant and self-proclaimed levitating psychic who founded the occult and spiritualist movement called Theosophy, which became wildly popular, especially in Germany. Theosophy is steeped in the black arts and the occult. It is very often a direct inversion of Christianity, using similar language. However, in Theosophy, Lucifer is its god, whom they often call the Lightbringer, the Cosmic Christ, or even the Christ, who is set above Jesus Christ in their hierarchy of divinity. Blavatsky is considered the mother of New Age spirituality, a mentor to the infamous Satanist, Aleister Crowley, as well as being a noted figure in the development of Nazi paganism. She never concealed the true focus of her occult leanings. In her book, The Secret Doctrine, she writes, it is but natural to view Satan, the serpent of Genesis, as the real creator and benefactor, the father of spiritual mankind. In another passage, she extols the harbinger of light, the bright, radiant Lucifer, who opened the eyes of Adam. Blavatsky's Theosophy magazine, titled Lucifer, the Lightbringer, was edited by her Padawan learner, Alice Bailey, who named Blavatsky her mentor. And in the dedication of one of her own books stated, Blavatsky was that great disciple who lighted her torch in the East and brought that light to Europe and America. Now, Alice Bailey and her husband, Foster Bailey, a 32nd degree Freemason, they went on to found the Lucifer Publishing Company in 1922, and Blavatsky's works are still promoted on their website to this day. As the Lucifer Publishing Company grew in power and influence, they eventually changed the name to the Lucius Trust, as the original name just revealed too much about the true nature of the New Age movement. So going forward, I'll refer to them as the Lucius Trust. Alice Bailey was an influential writer and theosophist, creating a discipline she termed ageless wisdom. This is going to directly connect with something later in this video. Now, you may ask, why does Alice Bailey or this occultic organization matter to Bill Gates or much less affect my children's education? Hang on, stay with me. To do this, I have to first establish the power and influence that the Lucius Trust wields behind the scenes by providing just a few examples. The Lucius Trust has its headquarters in London, Geneva, and New York City, with its U.S. headquarters located inside the United Nations headquarters, which was originally located at 666 United Nations Plaza, but moved to 866 United Nations Plaza. For anyone with even a cursory knowledge of the biblical book of Revelation's Mark of the Beast, this appears too coincidental to be a product of chance. Lucius Trust is the organization that prints and disseminates the United Nations materials. They are a consultant to the UN's Economic and Social Council, and within the UN building, they are the only religious organization with a meditation room, which was built and funded by the Rockefeller family. Watch this short clip to understand its features.
Yeah.
Inside UN headquarters is an ominous meditation room. The custodian of the meditation room is Lucius Trust Company. At one time, the Lucius Trust was located at 666 United Nations Plaza and was formally named Lucifer Publishing Company. The Rockefeller-funded UN Meditation Room is 33 feet long and 18 feet wide. 18 feet is 6 plus 6 plus 6. The small, dimly lit, windowless room was built in the shape of a pyramid that is laying on its side. At the center of the room is a 4-foot-high, black, casket-shaped stone slab which weighs 6.5 tons and is extremely magnetic and rests on a concrete pillar. The pillar descends beneath the floor into the bedrock and taps into the Earth's hyperdimensional energies to induce a state of altered consciousness.
Through the simplicity of this place, people with many faiths can meet here. The light spot hits the surface of the rock as a symbol of how the light of the sky gives life to earth in which we stand. The stone in the middle of the room you may see it as an altar. Empty, not because there is no god, but because it's an altar to an unknown god, who man worships in many names and different forms. The block of iron ore weighs about 6.5 tons, and it's a reminder of the endurance and faith in which human endeavor must be based.
A couple of the Lucius Trust sponsors include Robert McNamara, former U.S. Minister of Defense and President of the World Bank, Thomas Watson of IBM, former U.S. Ambassador to Russia, Greenpeace, Amnesty International, Share International, and UNICEF. So in short, their influence runs wide and deep. Now, on to how this affects education, which leads us to a final writing from Alice Bailey and then two powerful men that we all know today. Alice Bailey wrote in her 1922 book, Initiation, Human and Solar, "When you are changing a nation, don't bother with the old people. They are too stuck in the old traditions. They will not change, but go for the children." And that is what she did with her 10-point education plan, as you see right here. 1. Take God and prayer out of the education system. 2. Reduce parental authority over the children. 3. Destroy the Judeo-Christian family structure. 4. If sex is free, then make abortion legal and make it easy. 5. Make divorce easy and legal. Free people from the concept of marriage for life. 6. Make homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. 7. Debase art, make it run mad. 8. Use media to promote and change mindset. 9. Create an interfaith movement. And 10. Get governments to make all these laws and get the church to endorse these changes. Now, are any of these ideas from 1922 sounding familiar today? Does it sound eerily similar to the initiatives of the Democratic Party? I'm just asking. Should we ask if Alice Bailey was prophetically ahead of her time, or was she a key instrument that Satan used to jumpstart the engine that would manifest these ideas into accepted modern culture? Now, we need to move on to the two most powerful men who have been at the forefront of bringing this educational plan into being over the last several decades. Robert Mueller is a former United Nations Assistant Secretary General and the first Director General of UNESCO. He created a World Core curriculum and is known throughout the world as the father of global education. There are now 29 Robert Mueller schools around the world, with more being established each year. The World Core curriculum earned him the UNESCO Peace Education Prize in 1989. In the USA, we know this set of education standards as Common Core. Robert Mueller states in the preface to his World Core Curriculum Manual that the underlying philosophy upon which the Robert Mueller School is based will be found in the teachings set forth in the books of Alice A. Bailey. So, Robert Mueller, known as the father of global education, is an avid fan of the teachings of Alice Bailey and is the creator of the Common Core curriculum. But to implement this kind of plan on the American people, you need far more than to merely develop the curriculum. You must have financial backing at a massive level. You must have promotion and marketing. So, enter our friend and population control advocate, Bill Gates. Since 1999, Bill Gates has been funding the promotion of Common Core. A search in the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation website for grant awards with the keyword Common Core returns 257 results, accumulating more than $300 million through 2017 alone. And in 2018, Bill committed to spending $1.7 billion over 5 years to fix U.S. education. But more on that later. If you substitute college and career readiness, which is a euphemism for Common Core, you'll uncover another $130 million. And then another $100 million has been sent under vague explanations such as for general operating support to organizations whose only relationship with the Gates Foundation is promoting Common Core. On January 5th, 2004, Bill Gates' Microsoft organization entered into a formal agreement and contract with Robert Mueller's UNESCO, stating their intent to collaborate on educational initiatives across the world. But what about Gates directly with Lucius Trust? Well, the Lucius Trust website shows the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation as a financial partner with Lucius Trust through their subsidiary, the New World Servers. The Lucius website says, "The New World Servers are men of goodwill who cooperate with us and are working to help implement the plan." What is the plan? Well, they don't say specifically, but ultimate world unity is mentioned in the same paragraph. Also, we learn the following. Behind these leaders and the cooperating men of goodwill are the custodians of the plan, the inner spiritual government of the planet. So whatever the unity is, the same webpage makes a point to also say, this kingdom is not a Christian kingdom, but rather, these are the people who are building the New World Order. They are also called the Enlightened Ones. So take Mueller's World Core curriculum based on Madame Blavatsky and Alice Bailey's work, add in Bill Gates, financing, and then you get our American version of a global education called the Common Core State Standards, pushed through to our students via the public-private partnerships that sidestepped any due process in how America establishes laws and legislation. Then, add in a U.S. Department of Education that is hell-bent on propagating this system to the rest of the nation. In 2017, Gates tacitly admitted that Common Core was a failure due to the pushback of the individual states. And this is why he pledged to provide $1.7 billion to fix the American education. These new initiatives include the teaching of critical race theory, the LGBTQ indoctrination, social emotional learning, also known as SEL, and the data mining of students. I'll leave it up to you to decide if these are good educational ideas, but shockingly, the spiritual roots of these ideas remain the same. For instance, the term social emotional learning was coined in 1994 at a meeting hosted by the Fetzer Institute, founded by New Age guru John Fetzer. Fetzer was obsessed with Alice Bailey, the controversial occultist and organizer of the Lucius Trust. The Biden administration is now pushing SEL and critical race theory, amongst other things, into public schools through the American Rescue Plan 2021. To receive these federal grants, the school is required to spend at least 20% on SEL and free anti-racist therapy for white educators to get the grant. So if there's a takeaway from all this, I'd like you to notice that many of the teachings of theosophy, they do have an innate appeal to our human nature. They seem to mirror or even reverse the teachings of Christianity to the point that those who are not in a close relationship with Christ might actually fall for believing that this occultic path of love and light awaiting the Christ is actually what the Bible calls the way. So whether you're a Christian or not, I think we can agree that what's going on in education is wrong on so many levels. We don't need billionaires with ties to the occult dictating our school curriculum. And right now they are. Get involved in helping correct this. If you are in an active church, share this information with those in your houses of worship. Contact local leaders and state level leaders to say no to these programs. Because these aren't just bad educational programs, these are spiritual movements to drive your kids into occult beliefs. We already see it happening. Are you having a hard time sleeping at night thinking, what am I going to do about my finances? If you look back to 1920 and you had a $20 bill in one hand and an ounce of gold in the other, you could go to a men's clothing store and buy an entire suit, the jacket, shoes, pants, belt, everything. But today, what would that $20 bill buy you? You couldn't buy a handkerchief for the 20 bucks, but that 1 ounce of gold would still buy you today an entire men's suit, shoes, belt, the whole thing. That's the difference. But today, inflation is happening faster than ever. And I know a guy by the name of Dr. Kirk Elliott that has PhDs in economics as well as theology, and this is who I'm actually using. This is who my family and friends are using, and he's a guy we trust completely. In today's era, you need someone you can trust. So go to KirkElliottPhD.com/JSlay to learn how to protect yourself against an inflating dollar. Again, go to KirkElliottPhD.com/JSlay. The link's in the description.
So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay. What if I told you that there was a beauty product that also helped block fat? Would you be interested? I know you would, because it's something I'm interested in. The older I got, the more wrinkles that are showing up on the forehead, under the eyes. I got this Timeless box. It's amazing because the oil goes on after I clean up my face. The oil goes on and it helps with wrinkles. It helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. It's great for deterring insect bites. You gotta try it. It's amazing at that. And it's super easy. You just put it on your face and it just helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. Not only does the oil do that, but it also blocks fat. So put a dropper in your mouth right before you have a meal and you could be stopping fat right before the get-go. So if you want to lose weight, and you want to have a beautiful looking face, or if you have skin, anything of skin that you're just like, I don't like this, then get the Timeless Pack at timelesspack.com. Use my name, Amber May. Use promo code Amber May and save almost half off on the Timeless Pack. So that's the timelesspack.com, promo code Amber May, and save some money for getting your wrinkles and fat loss. Thank you for joining us today on the Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at the Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on the Amber May Show.